This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, Rome is not going to be rebuilt in a day, but they are working on it. Italians, of course, are divided on the idea. First, though, to Martha Stewart, the home decorating guru and now accused stock manipulator. The defense in her trial has rested. Closing arguments begin on Monday. For where things stand after the testimony phase of the trial, we've invited someone who, by his own account, is a curious choice for the role of journalist.
Given the current state of my reputation, readers may want to take everything I say with a grain of salt. There are literally dozens of reasons why my observations about these proceedings might be biased.
Henry Blodgett is a former Merrill Lynch securities analyst who became famous for his pronouncements on internet stocks during the tech bubble and somewhat infamous during the tech bust. He was accused of civil securities fraud by the SEC. He settled the charge without admitting or denying the allegations. Because of his unique perspective, and because he's also a good writer, our partners at Slate Magazine asked Henry to cover the Martha Stewart trial for them. He's followed it from the beginning. He spoke to Day to Day's Madeline Brandt.
First of all, Henry Blodgett, given your own history with the SEC, why shouldn't our listeners take what you say with a grain of salt, as you put it?
If they want to, they absolutely should. My hope is that the experiences that I had in terms of going through a government investigation will actually either inform my coverage of Martha's situation or at least give me a unique perspective. And I hope that that's what I've delivered on Slate thus far.
Okay, let's just play catch up a little bit and remind listeners what the main charges against Martha Stewart are and her co-defendant, her former broker, Peter Bakanovic.
Right. The theory was that this was a classic insider trading case, that Martha Stewart had been tipped off about the rejection of Erbitux, the M-clone drug. Ultimately, what the investigators found was that they decided not to charge insider trading, but they were going to charge both Martha Stewart and Peter Bakanovic with many counts of effectively covering up the truth of that trade.
And Henry, what's the significance of this figure, $60?
After Martha Stewart sold her M-clone stock on December 27, 2001, and the SEC investigation started, both Stewart and her broker were effectively asked why she sold the stock. What Stewart and her broker said was, we had an oral agreement that she would sell the stock if it broke 60. It broke 60. She sold the stock. The government has tried very hard to prove circumstantially that it's a fabrication. Personally, I don't think they've quite gotten there, and I think that is the fact that may ultimately get Martha Stewart off here, if in fact she does get off.
Now, Stewart's defense team rested after putting only one witness on the stand. The defense of her co-defendant, Bakanovic, only lasted a few days. Why did they do this? Is this a sign that they just think that the government's case is too flimsy to even bother with, or are they overconfident?
I think it's a calculated gamble. I think the message that you just described is the one that they are hoping the jury will get, which is effectively, hey, we think this case is such a joke that we're not even going to bother to defend it. In terms of putting more witnesses on the stand, what we've seen throughout this trial thus far is that witness after witness has effectively been destroyed on cross-examination. So I think that certainly the defense said, well, we could parade a bunch of witnesses out there, but then if we do that, we're taking the risk that we get really hurt as well.
And going over to the government side, their case lasted for more than a month. Can you sum up for us what you think their most effective arguments were?
Their most effective argument as a whole is, again, that this $60 agreement between Peter Bakanovic and Martha Stewart never existed. I think the government's most effective witness by far was Douglas Faneuil, who was the assistant to Peter Bakanovic. And in the weeks before the trial, he was effectively destroyed in the press. And I think he came out and surprised a lot of people with how credible he was and how articulate and also how convincing about certain matters. And the defense has a lot of work to do yet to undermine that testimony.
Now, you have this chart on Slate called the Martha Meter, which shows sort of at the moment what you think her chances are of being convicted. And right now it's at 33%. So that's pretty good for her. Why do you think the case is so weak against her?
I don't think it's so weak. I think in general, I think actually the government has put on a more effective case than I expected, having read the indictment. One can imagine in jury deliberations a few jurors simply refusing to convict Martha Stewart, this household name that they've known for years, on the evidence that's been presented here. That said, I do think it will be easier for the jury to send Peter Bakanovic to jail, and I think there is a real possibility that we have a split verdict here.
Henry Blodgett is covering the Martha Stewart trial for Slate, and you'll find his coverage and his very lengthy disclosure on his possible conflicts of interest at slate.com. Henry, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
And thanks to Day-to-Day's Madeline Brand for that interview.